Now, open up the Word of God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a wonderful God, Lord, a mighty God. And Father, it's just a joy to be among your people, Lord, a joy to be in your house, Lord. What a joy it is, Lord, to be able to come together. And Father, as we open the Word today, Lord, we just pray that you just speak to each and every one of us, Father. Lord, because we just want to grow in you, Lord. We want to be closer to you. So, Father, we open our hearts, Lord, as you open the Word to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our theme this year is on fire. And we're more than halfway through the year now. We're coming up to August next week. It'll be August, can you believe it? And then we'll be going into a month later. We'll have spring, and then once spring comes, and then, wow, time goes really fast, doesn't it? But again, congratulations to Pastor John. Again, happy birthday to him. And we all really honour you, Pastor John, for everything that you are and for all that you contribute to everyone's life and heart. So bless you for all of that. It's wonderful. I just want to speak today about prayer, about the subject of prayer. And if I was to do a little survey, which I'm not going to do, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but if I was to ask you how many of you were satisfied with your prayer life, and when I say satisfied, there can mean a couple of things. It may mean about the quantity of your prayer life. You might think, well, yeah, look, if I was truthful, yeah, look, I probably could probably do a bit more in prayer. I could probably spend a little bit more in prayer. Or maybe it's qualitatively that when you pray, you find it a little bit hard. You sit down to pray and then you struggle. You feel like God is distant or whatever. You struggle with that area of prayer. And I just want to talk about prayer because prayer is such a vital thing within our lives. So we're talking about being on fire. If we're going to be on fire for the Lord, then prayer is really important. See, prayer is always is fundamentally important for us as a Christians. It's one thing to give our heart to the Lord and to recognize what Jesus did on the cross, to accept him in our life. And our part of our daily life is our daily walk. And that walk and walking with Jesus involves communication. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is simply communicating, listening and sharing with the Lord, opening our hearts, talking to the Lord. It's a very important part of our life. But as I said, if I was to survey and say, hands up all those, and I'm not going to ask you to do that, but if I did, I would suspect that many, if not most, would put their hand up, and maybe probably all of us in some way think, yeah, Lord, look, I really probably could do a little bit better in prayer. And I pondered, well, why don't we pray perhaps the way that we feel that we should or that we could? Why is that? And some of us might say, well, look, I'm busy, you know. But really, if we're honest with ourselves and we talk about being too busy for something, really, none of us are really too busy. We do the things that we see as a priority. If we're honest with ourselves, that's true. You do the things that are most important. That's what you do. So if it's really important, you will do it. And if it's not so important, you maybe not do it. So maybe that's not really an excuse because we're not really too busy. Maybe underlying with that is the sense of maybe the importance or significance of prayer. And again, the more I ponder it, I think the reason why we don't pray perhaps as much as we should, it's not because we're too busy, but I think the bottom line is that we don't recognize or appreciate how important and how significant, but ultimately how powerful prayer is. What a powerhouse it is to be able to pray, to be able to come into relationship with our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, be able to speak and have direct access to the throne of heaven, and yes, and to love God and be loved of him, but then to be able to bring our prayers and supplications, our requests before God, and have God actually hear them, and then not just hear them, but to act on those things. It's amazing the power of prayer, and sometimes we underestimate that. Scripture says in 1 Peter 3:12, this won't come up on the screen, but it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to his prayer." And we're going to understand that the Lord is actually looking at us. We're righteous not because of ourselves. And that's one of the reasons I think that people don't pray is because we feel like we're unworthy. You know, you're mindful, you're conscious of your sin, and so conscious of sin, and so guilt-ridden and shameful, you feel like how can I even come before God to pray? Well, that's if you're feeling those things, then that's when you definitely need to come before God and to bring it before him. Remember, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And so, but I believe that for some is an issue as well, but I think the bottom line is we don't fully understand the power of prayer. Now, I want to talk about prayer and fire because that's our theme this year about being on fire. And And the thing about is that if you're on fire for God, if you're passionate for God, if you're really on fire for Him, then you're on fire, then you will pray. And that the more that you pray, the more you become on fire. And then the more you're on fire, the more that you pray. And the more that you pray, the more you're on fire. And the more you're on fire, the more that you pray. And so it goes on. But the reality is the opposite is true. The less that you pray, the less that you're on fire. The less that you're on fire, the less that you pray. And the less that you pray, the less you're on fire. And the less you pray, the less you're on fire. And suddenly you find, hang on, how did I end up so far away? And that when I do actually try to take time to pray, it just seems so hard. You know, the idea of praying, going to a prayer meeting, whoa. Because if you're way back here, that's the last thing that's on your mind to do something like that, to actually go and pray. But when you do take the step to pray, you become more on fire. The more on fire, the more you pray, and let it build up on that. I want to have a look at a scripture in Psalm 141, verses 1 to 2. It says this, O Lord, I call to you. And this is a cry that, Lord, I call to you. An impassioned plea, Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call you. Now listen to this. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And so two words there. May my prayer be like incense rising before you. And may the lifting up my hands, my act of worshiping you, adoration to you, maybe it be like the evening sacrifice as I lift my hand up to you. And so this is an impassioned cry about, Lord, hear my cry. Well, the Lord's already told us, I hear you. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You're not righteous because of what you did do or didn't do. We're righteous purely because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of what He did on the cross. And so the Lord is attentive to our prayers. But when we talk about sacrifice and offerings and I'm talking about offering our heart, offering ourselves, not taking up offerings, not financial. I'm talking about the offering of our life. But Exodus 29, there was a sacrifice that had to happen, an offering that had to be given twice a day, in the morning and then later at dusk in the evening. And it says in Exodus 29, verses 38 to 43, this is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day. Two lambs, a year old. One in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer a tenth of an ephah of line flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives and a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. For generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. There also I meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated for my glory. And so there was a sacrifice that was to happen in the morning. And when that offering was given, that sacrifice was given, the promise of the Lord was that I'm going to meet with you and I'm going to speak with you. And that's really our heart. If we're praying with God, we're praying. We're not praying to up there somewhere. And some people, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, you are just praying up there somewhere. But we're not. We're intimately connected with our Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the cross. And so that we're able to pray. But it talks about giving this offering twice a day to the Lord and letting it go up to the Lord as a pleasing aroma, this sacrifice unto the Lord. There's a very famous author, Ian Bounds. He's written multiple volumes on prayer. And he says this, and I like what he says about prayer. He says, no erudition. Does anyone know what that means? I don't know what it means either. No erudition. If you know what that means, then that's you. Actually, erudition means is when you have knowledge and you display it, or you have possessed knowledge, or you show knowledge. So if you had that, you would have known what that meant. I didn't know what that means. But no erudition, no purity of diction, doesn't matter how well you say it, no width of mental outlook, no flowers of eloquence, no grace of the person can atone for the lack of fire. Prayer ascends by fire. Flame gives prayer access as well as wings, acceptance as well as energy. There is no incense without fire, no prayer without flame. And this image of this offering that's been given, this sacrifice that had to be given twice a day at the entrance of the tent of the meeting, where the Lord himself would come, and he would come as the fire was given, this fire, this offering went up as a pleasing aroma before the Lord, and then the Lord would come, and he would come and meet with them. And in the scripture, there's quite a lot of imagery, if you like, of incense or fire being offered up to the Lord, and then the prayer offered up to the Lord, and then the fire of heaven coming down. And so really, as I'm talking today, I'm talking about two kinds of fire. I'm talking about the fire of our passion, our heart for the things of God, our loving God with all that we are, and we're just honoring him and just worshiping, loving him with everything that we have, and allowing the intensity, the passion, the fire of our own heart to rise up to God in prayer and loving him, adoration, and we bring our prayers before the Lord. And then the reciprocation of that, which is the fire that comes down from heaven. When they built the temple, when King Solomon had finished the temple, they finally built the temple. They offered prayers, and as they did the sacrifice before the Lord, and as they offered up prayer, fire, it says, fell from heaven. They didn't light any match. They didn't light anything on the altar. Fire from heaven fell down in response to their prayers. So as their prayer went before the Lord and as their heart before the Lord, there was a response from heaven. The fire of the Lord came down. We know the day of Pentecost. We know that when the disciples were all together in that upper room and they'd been praying and they'd been faithfully praying and praying. And on the day of Pentecost, as I was gathered there to pray and they're loving God and worshiping with all their heart and lift, as they did that, that's when the fire of the Holy Spirit came down and they were baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. So really was the birth of the church, and we've spoken that before. But there's something about out of our own heart and loving God with the intensity of our spirit, praising God and praying and bringing your heart before him, there's this response from heaven, and it's well demonstrated in Scripture. And so one of the two things that we need to look at is it our own heart? How much are we in love with God? And what is our heart for him? Because if there's that start there, then we're able to pray. And then as we pray and we bring that before the Lord, the fire of heaven will come down and catch us on fire all the more. And the more that we pray, and so it goes on. It's very powerful in the way that we can pray. And never underestimate that when you pray, how important your prayers are to God. Your prayers are very critical to God. He's waiting for us. He is longing for us. He's yearning for us. Remember, that's why he created us, to be in relationship with him. Not just so that when we die that we're with him in eternity. He wants to be in relationship with us now. Now. He's not waiting for you to die. He wants us, all of us, to be in close relationship with now. And that's expressed in prayer and in worship, but in spending time with the Lord. That defines your relationship. Don't tell me that you're married if you never, ever talk to your wife. You might have a piece of paper saying it's your certificate, but you're not really married if you're not talking. There's no real relationship. It's the fact that you've got to build on that. If you've got a bit of paper, then make sure you start talking, communicating, start being with one another, spending time together. Every relationship is based on the time spent and communication. If you go to any counselor and talk about what is the most important thing in a marriage, they'll tell you it's communication. What is the most important thing in your covenant relationship with our Father? It's communication. The covenant that was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, it's fundamental to our life. And if we're going to be on fire, the only real way we're going to be on fire is to be a praying people. That's what makes us on fire. And so we have this imagery of this offering that was going before the Lord. And just remember that they originally they had the tabernacle, and this is actually talking about the tabernacle originally. So when they had a tabernacle, remember there was on the outer part of the outside you had the main sanctuary. Outside here in the courtyard you'd have the altar of sacrifice where the sacrifice went up before the Lord. But then if you had the sanctuary which was broken up into the holy place and then the most holy place, or the holy of holies in the holy place, is where they had the incense going perpetually before the Lord. But always the incense going up. And we'll find in Scripture, we'll look at it in a moment, prayers, the incense before the Lord really is symbolic of our prayers continually rising up before the Lord as a pleasing aroma before the Lord. But in the tabernacle, but also later when the temple was bought, and I mentioned what happened when Solomon's temple was bought, the fire came down to heaven and it burnt the offering, nothing that they lit, just the fire from heaven. But there was always a divider between the holy place and then the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And so we have this image of this veil, this curtain in between, and the incense is prayer. It's like there's something in between. And once a year, the priest would go in and he would represent, like representing all the prayers and the cry of the heart of the people, and he would bring that before the Lord as he entered in through that veil, through that curtain, into the most holy place. Now, we all know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that when Jesus died upon the cross, that he died on our place, in our place, to forgive our sins and to give us the hope for this life, but also eternal life, that when Jesus died on the cross, we know that that veil was rent. It was torn apart. And so there was direct access. And so the incense, which is like the prayers of the saints, doesn't wait for a priest to go there and represent us. It's like there's unfettered access. The prayers now go straight into the holy presence of God. And so that when you're praying, it's so powerful. There's nothing between you and your prayers. You're going straight into the throne room of God. That's why the scripture says we enter boldly into the throne of grace, because there's nothing to stop that. So when you're praying, it's such a powerful thing. It's going right into the intimate presence of our Father in heaven. Previously, that was walled off. And the incense was rising up, and only the priest was the one who could actually act as an interface between the people and God. There's no interface. There's direct access before the Lord, and we're able to pray. I love this passage in Revelation where it talks about our prayer and this image of our prayers rising up like incense before the Father, as a pleasing aroma. The Lord is so pleased. You know, the Lord is hanging out for you to hang out. He's hanging out for that. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. The Lord loves spending time with us. He loves it when we pray. But it's not only just for that mutual sense of being loved and loving, which is just exhilaration of that, but the incredible power that is unlocked and unleashed when we pray. If we understood the power that was in our hands, the destructive power against the work of the enemy, then you wouldn't be ones that would not ones that ever worried about fear, oh, the devil, this or that. You got nukes. You have the ability to do. Jesus destroyed every work of the enemy, and we have complete authority and power to enforce that victory as we come in prayer and we bring before God. That's why the devil doesn't want us to pray. He wants you to think that we're too busy. Wants us to think, oh, it's too hard, or I feel disconnected, or it's too whatever. Because you've got such power within your hands, incredible power through prayer that moves the hand of God, that locks down every barrier, everything that would try to oppose or stand against. But this lovely image in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verses 6 to 8. Let's have a look at this. And then I saw a lamb looking as one being slain. Now, who's the lamb? We know Jesus. He was the sacrificial lamb. And they used to have the lamb. We read about these two lambs twice a day sacrificing these lambs before the Lord. But we don't do that because we had one lamb. Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. When he gave himself on the cross, he ended all the ritual, all the legalism, all of those requirements of the law. He became the sacrificial lamb, the lamb that was slain. And so he ended all of those regulations by giving his own life. And then I saw a lamb, and so this is talking about Jesus, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out on the earth, or sevenfold spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, so from the Father. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are what? the prayers of the saints. So just think of that for the moment, that up in heaven you have this incredible scene of heaven. You have the Father seated on the throne. You have the Lord Jesus Christ there. You have the 24 elders, this Sanhedrin of heaven, and the four living creatures. We don't really know much about that other than they're just worshipping the Lord. And there's some good pictures in Ezekiel explaining different facets and things, but we don't really understand completely who or what these four living creatures are. But when the Lamb, when Jesus is there, but these 24 elders are holding with them these bowls. They've got a harp, probably an electric harp, I don't know. They've got a harp and they've got these bowls. But within them are contained what? The prayers of all the saints. The prayers of all the saints. Every prayer that we pray is something that is so precious to God. They actually collect your prayers. Our prayers are actually held. And sometimes you feel like, oh, did anyone hear me, Lord? What are you doing? Every prayer is precious to the Lord. And so your prayers are actually held, all the prayers of the saints. And so in heaven, it's like they're holding those prayers. So when your prayers ascend to the heaven, it's like that pleasing aroma unto the Lord. And yes, sometimes there's sacrifice in prayer. And sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. You don't feel. It's not about feelings. Fire will start when you make that step. And when you've got the fire, you have the feeling and you have the desire and you want to pray anyway. But the aroma of our prayers going before the Lord and this image of the prayers just being collected in heaven. I think that's pretty awesome. That so precious are our prayers that they just don't go in one ear of God and out the other. Actually, they collect up all the prayers, every prayer that you have prayed. And you may think, oh God, you never heard that one or nothing happened. No, it was precious to God. And our prayers are like they're held in heaven. They've got our prayers there. And there's something that to understand that God listens to every prayer that we pray. Remember, when you were a sinner, even the sinner that we were when we were cut off from Christ, when we hadn't surrendered our life to Christ before we knew the Lord, when we were still sinners, when we asked Jesus into our life and we surrendered ourselves, he heard that prayer. But the prayers of the righteous are very precious to the Lord. Your prayers are so precious to the Lord. My prayers are precious to the Lord. And your prayers are held in heaven. And so never think that your prayers are wasted. Never think, oh, well, I prayed and nothing happened. That was a waste, bit of a waste of time. Wasn't that one? It wasn't. Your prayer was precious to God and it's held in heaven. Now, they don't just hold them in heaven and they just sit there forever. We're going to read a little bit more. But what actually happens when our prayer, which is like a pleasing aroma, which goes up before the Lord, and what actually happens with that. I just want to read one more quote before I read that. And this is about, again, from E.M. Bounds. It is only when the whole heart is gripped with passion of prayer. Remember, I talked about that before. I said that your heart is before God. I'm loving God. I just love you, Lord. It can be a cry of desperation. It can be just out of intimacy, but there's that communication before the Lord. There's that heart before the Lord. And it's not a half-hearted thing. You know, it's not a throwaway prayer. Sometimes people do little throwaway prayers which don't really mean anything to them. And I think sometimes we can pray like that. Oh, well, I prayed. I prayed. I said I'd pray. I prayed. Or, oh, yeah, well, I prayed. But when we prayed, we weren't actually engaging with our own heart and our own spirit. And we weren't actually engaging out of the fire, out of the love for God, our heart for him. And I believe it is really important that when we pray, that our heart is set upon the Lord. Our heart is unto God, just loving him and Lord. And Lord, this is the issue. This is the problem, Lord. Oh, this is the thing I just want to thank you for, Lord. This is what I want to delight in, whatever it is. But our heart is on the Lord. It's not just some throwaway line. It's not just some little throw, something we threw out there. Not a little spiritual tweet out there. This is something that's connected with the Lord. There it says, if only when the whole person is gripped with the passion of prayer, that the life-giving fire descends. For none but the earnest man gets access to the ear of God. And there's certainly a sense in that. It says the scripture is attentive to our prayer. But I think the Lord really is looking at our heart. Remember, the scripture tells us, look, before we even pray, the Lord knows what's on our heart. So, well, why do we have to pray that? And I know some people don't pray. Well, God knows anyway, so why am I praying? Well, my wife knows I'm married. Why should I ever talk to her? We're married. Look, wife, yeah? Why should I ever talk to you? And some people are like that. Well, why should I pray? God, and I tell you, if that's you, you're going to have a wonderful marriage, aren't you? No. And you're not going to have a wonderful relationship with the Lord if you say, well, I'm saved. I gave my heart to you, Lord, and they'll never talk to him. You're not going to have any sort of relationship. There's certainly going to be no passion in there. But it's only when the whole heart is gripped with the passion of prayer that the life-giving fire descends. For none but the earnest man gets access to our Father. So we've got fire, remember. So we've got fire now originating within us, within my own heart. My own heart, my own passion, my own focus and desire for the Lord. It's not just a throwaway little prayer. Lord, this is I'm a loving you, Lord, prayer. And remember, you know, when Jesus taught us how to pray, we acknowledge God, we acknowledge our relationship, we acknowledge who he is, we honor him. Our Father who is in heaven, our Father, Father, the first word, Father. Our Father is relationship. It's all about relationship. I'm not talking about the Lord's Prayer this morning, but prayer fundamentally is relationship. And if prayer is missing, relationship is missing. You can come to church every week, but the relationship is still missing if prayer is missing in our life. And so we want to make sure that that is there. So there's one kind of fire, which is this: our heart and our prayer and our heart for loving God. And the more that you pray, the more that you will stoke that up. The more that you spend time in the Lord's presence, the more that will be increased. Why will that increase? It's because when we just, that incense of our prayer goes up to the Lord and we open our hearts, then there's something actually happens in heaven. There's a reciprocation, there's a response that happens when we pray. And if you just imagine this when you're praying, you think, wow, this is awesome. When you're praying, why am I not praying more? When you realize what actually happens. So when we begin to pray, and yeah, I'm praying out of the desire, the passion, the zeal of my own heart, Lord, and loving God. And as I do that, it goes up. So the source of this is a fire. It can be a sacrifice sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm this. I'm whatever it is. I'm upset on whatever it is, and sometimes it's a sacrifice, and so yet there's a bit of an altar of sacrifice there, but as I allow that to go and my prayer rises up as this incense before the Lord, it goes up into heaven, and then the 24 elders there, it says our prayers of the saints, symbolic of our prayers being held in heaven, but then there's something actually happens with our prayer. And this is where the power of heaven is unlocked and unleashed and beautifully, graphically illustrated for us in this particular passage. And it says, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. So this is Revelation 8. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. So a lot of symbolism here in the book of Revelation. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of all the saints, went up before God from the angel's hands. And so our prayers have been released, and there's this other incense that's there going up before the Lord. So our prayers are going before the Father, this beautiful mixing, this beautiful aroma before the Lord. A beautiful thing, a precious thing, something that's pleasing to God, pleases him. The Lord is so pleased with that. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. And now this is what happens. This is what the angel did. Then the angel took the censer, filled with it from fire from the altar. So he's got the censer, which has got your prayers in it. My prayers are in this that have been collected up, our prayers that have been held in heaven. He gets that, and then he takes our prayer. And then he takes some fire from the altar of heaven, fire from the presence of God. God's holy fire is taken, and then that's put with your prayer and my prayer that's ascended before the Father. And so fire from heaven, in heaven, is taken. Our prayers have ascended before the Father, and then they're put together. The angels put them together in this image that is given to us in Revelation. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. That's how powerful your prayer is. And your prayer may seem like a little feeble prayer, where we don't really know, Lord, I'm not sure. Lord, I'm desperate. For us, it may not seem to be all that significant, but our little prayer, as we pray our prayer, as it extends up to the Father, and to Him, it's like, oh, pleasing aroma. Oh, that's beautiful. That aroma that is rising up to me, and it's held in heaven. And then your prayer that you prayed, you may think, well, it was a little feeble prayer, you know, but I meant it with all my heart. And remember, it's so important that you mean it with all of your heart. Remember, Jesus was there, and he told the story where he had the righteous Pharisee that was there, and he was praying away, and then there's this sinner, and this guy is saying, oh, praise God, aren't I wonderful? Thank you, Lord, that I'm a righteous, godly man. And then we have this sinner who throws himself down and says, Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. Lord, I need you. And Jesus said, who was the most justified? Which one? This guy down here. He humbled himself before the Lord and said, Lord, I need you with all my heart and with all my life. I need you, Lord. And he said he went home the most vindicated or most justified, the one who humbled himself before the Lord. And so it's important that our heart is right. Also remember, Jesus also goes on to say, he says that those who are there in the public places and making a big show of all these wonderful prayers and all of these things, and is saying, no, actually it's your prayer closet. It's what you do in secret. That's where the Lord wants to meet you. He wants to meet you in secret. And he also goes on to say, he says that the people that think they're going to be heard because they're saying many words, they're babbling on with many, many words, and think God's going to be really impressed, because when you pray, you can pray once continually for a half an hour without even breathing once. It's not the amount of words, it's the heart. But when we have prayed with such a heart, Lord, I love you with everything I am, and yes, Lord, I'm hurting, and yes, Lord, maybe I'm discouraged, or whatever the circumstance is, or it might be just simply, Lord, I'm just so grateful. Thank you, Lord, that you healed my hard drive. I praised God the other day. I was so excited. Lost everything. 18 months of work, just lost everything. And I laid hands on my hard drive. It wasn't a very godly way. I punched it a few times and prayed for it, because I said, Lord, I need this stuff. I've got a lot of stuff here. I can't lose all of this stuff. And I'd already prayed that. But praise God, it came back to life. I was able to get everything. So I was my prayer was a very happy prayer. I said, thank you, Lord. You're just such a good God. Thank you so much. Doesn't matter whether it's a desperate prayer, whatever your emotional state is, it's what underlies that, deeper than your own emotions, is this heart for the Lord and just loving God. Because you can still be going through a hard time, but you're still loving God with all of your heart. And when we're praying in such a way, our prayers are sent up before the Father, and our prayers are collected up. And just the fire of heaven, which is so powerful, they get the fire of heaven. The fire of heaven is mingled with your prayer. And then our prayer is unlocked and unleashed. How amazing. Thunder, lightning, power released. No coughs, but just other things. When you pray, the power of heaven is released. And so things that oppose us, things that try to bring us down, and we can stand with such an incredible victory. I was actually last night sharing Pastor Lewis's wonderful testimony that he's a walking miracle with his back. And what a wonderful living testimony of God's provision, that he's able to function at all, let alone do everything that he does with the condition of his back. That's the power of prayer. And the person I was speaking to last night said, oh, well, that obviously is a miracle, isn't it? It's prayer. Yeah, it is. It's a miracle. It can defy the human or natural order of things, the natural order of earth, the laws of physics, the laws of this world. Prayer transcends all of those things. Whatever the enemy has tried to come in, and sometimes the enemy will come against you, but all you got to do is nuke him. You just have to pray. You just bring a prayer before your Father in heaven and say, Lord, this thing is just getting me down, Lord. This thing's harassing me. Lord, I just bring that to you, Father, and I just pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for this thing, Lord, that's just afflicting me, this thing that's trying to get me down, whatever it is, Lord, I bring it to you. And Father, I ask you, Lord, to move now in the name of Jesus Christ. A prayer's gone up to heaven. Bit of fire from the altar of heaven is mixed, and then kaboom, there goes your prayer. Our prayer goes out. And if we truly understood how powerful prayer was, man, we would not stop praying. We'd be such a praying people. Prayer does change things. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, I've been praying. What's happened? Well, why isn't it happening? Well, sometimes it's because out of that prayer, sometimes our prayer is a throwaway prayer. Have you ever done a throwaway prayer? If you're honest, I think we all have. I have. I know I have. And I thought, and I've been convicted about it and said, you know, what was that a real prayer? And I'm thinking, well, I said it, but was my heart really engaged? Was my faith engaged? Was my spirit engaged? Was my own fire of my own spirit? Was it really in that? And if I'm honest with myself, no, Lord, I'm sorry, I wasn't. I was really half-hearted in that. And then I want to pray. If you want to build some of the fire, maybe if you feel that, look, if I'm honest with prayer, you really struggle with that. A good thing is fasting is to do that, to focus your heart and your mind on the things of God. Do it in a sensible way. We can help you. If you're not sure how to fast, then just ask. We'll tell you how to do that. But to do that, spend some time. That can get the fire going again. Because once the fire starts and you pray, and as your prayers go up, yes, it could be over a situation, or it purely could be, Lord, I just feel disconnected to you. Lord, I don't feel as close to you as you want to. That's okay. You can pray that prayer. And as you do that, some fire from heaven will come down upon your heart and cause your heart to erupt a little bit more. And you pray a little bit more because you find it easier to pray now. It's not so hard, not like you're struggling to do that. And then a bit more of the fire. Heaven comes down upon your heart and upon your life. And then you pray again and you'll find that you pray easily as the fire from heaven is mixed with your prayers. So powerful what prayer does. Prayer changes things. And sometimes people pray once, say, well, I prayed. And again, if you've prayed once, then Jesus talked about the persistent widow. He told them the parable of this woman. And she had to keep going to this judge, keep asking for this judge. Why does the parable of that, just quickly the parable, if you're not familiar with it, Jesus is talking about this widow who desperately wants justice. She's not getting treated fairly. And so she goes to this judge and she says, judge, give me justice. And it says this judge didn't care about God, didn't care about people, just ignores her. But this widow keeps going and saying, give me justice, give me justice. Eventually the judge says, this woman is driving me crazy. All right, you can have whatever you want, just go away. Now, and Jesus saying, now if an unjust judge, he doesn't care about anyone, if he doesn't honor God, but God himself is not unjust, he's loving, he's kind, he's gracious, how much more that we should pray. But Jesus told that story for one reason, and that was that we should persist in prayer. Why do we have to persist in prayer? Because I think it takes some time for ourselves, some time that our heart is truly on fire, our heart is really aligned with the things of God, really a heart for God, really a prayer of faith and prayer born out of intimacy and out of relationship. And so we need to persist in that. It's not that God's deaf and he can't hear us. And it's not because God is unresponsive that, okay, finally I'm going to wear God down. You don't have to wear God down. God is attentive to our prayer and he's ready, but the prayer needs to be that prayer that comes out of such a heart. Scripture tells us, it won't come up on the screen, but you know the scripture, James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other. And today we spoke about, look, if you're aware of any junk, get rid of the junk. Get rid of the junk. And husbands, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter, it says about, you know, men's prayers being hindered because they're mistreating their wives. And so there is stuff that can muck around with our prayers. It can be, guys, you're not looking after your wife, you're not honoring your wife, not treating her properly. That's going to hinder your prayers, the scripture says. And there can be some junk there. And the trouble with having junk in our lives is once you allow junk in your lives, you're aware of the junk in your life, and then you become guilty about the junk in your life, and you become focused on this, and it becomes all-consuming. And what the Lord says is, okay, if there's stuff there, just deal with it. How do I deal with it? Lord, I bring this junk to you. And Lord, I confess this to you. Lord, just wash it away. Lord, I'm repenting. Lord, I don't want to do this stuff anymore, Lord. I want to change my heart. turn around from, and that's repentance. Repentance is not being sorry. Repentance is turning away. That's what repentance is. Deal with it. You've got to deal with it. Deal with it. But once we've dealt with things, we can boldly enter in before God, because there's no curtain there now. We can come boldly before the throne room of God. Our prayer is like that incense which is collected in the fire of heaven, and then boom, and then amazing things happen and are unlocked and broken as we pray. So remember that. The scripture says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, James 5:16, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And the word there is, when it talks about prayer, there's a word that actually goes before that. If you have a look in the Old King James, it'll have in there the effectual prayer. There is a Greek word that goes in there, the word energio or energeo, or geo is actually pronounced, energeo is how it's pronounced. So where do we get energy from anyway? It's a source root from energy. And it's prayer that's born out of a fire, out of a heart, prayer that's born out of something. That's the prayer that is powerful and effective. It's the prayer that has some energy, it has some fire, it has some focus upon us. It literally means, that word literally means, if I find the literal here, means earnest prayer. It's not half-hearted, casual, chuck away, one-line little half-hearted, no faith little prayer. It's prayer that, Lord, whatever fire, and it doesn't matter how much fire it is, just whatever fire you got in there, and loving God and honouring God and then bringing it before the Lord out of relationship with your Father in heaven. And then as we bring that before the Lord, that's the kind of prayer that's powerful and effective prayer. That's the prayer that we want to pray. Some people get discouraged with prayer because their prayers are not powerful and they're not effective. Why are they not powerful for effective? Well, we eliminate the junk, because I think if you're aware of any junk, just get rid of it. If your relationships are bad, fix them. If you're holding unforgiveness and all of those things, and just deal with the junk. Don't let junk there. But with the fire that's within us, how small it might be, and sometimes it's a struggle, it's an altar of sacrifice. Sometimes it's difficult, but I'm going to push through. My body's hurting. My emotions are screaming. Whatever it is, I'm going to push through, and I'm going to bring that prayer before the Lord, and it rises before the Lord, and it goes up there, and it's in this, collected up in heaven. And then the fire from heaven mixed with our prayer, and then, as I said, wow, how powerful is that? Every one of us is a spiritual powerhouse. We have the Holy Spirit within our life. And sometimes we don't know how to pray. Remember, one of the things about the advantages of praying in tongues is when you don't know how to pray, sometimes just your own mind, you're confused. Sometimes your own emotion, you're all over the place. And that's when you can just pray and the Spirit, with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and then the reaction of the fire from heaven, bang. So powerful when we pray. Never underestimate that. And I think if we really grabbed a hold of how powerful prayer was, then people would be a praying people. We'd be a praying people. We'd be a world-shaking people, people that make a difference. And it's so important that we're praying. But as I said, please don't kid yourself that you've got a relationship with the Lord if you're not praying. You might have the wedding certificate, but it means you might have salvation because of what Jesus did on the cross. But we've got to pray. Be a praying people. A praying people is an on fire people, on fire. Once we're on fire, the more that we pray, the more we're on fire. And the more we're on fire, the more we pray. If we really want to be on fire, let's be a praying people. Now, we might say, okay, well, that's great. We're talking about being on fire and prayer, and you can pray, no worries, for an hour, no, you don't even realize. You might be back here and you're praying and you think, okay, well, there's some junk. All right, I'm going to deal with that. Just deal with it. Simple to deal with it. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. You just deal with it. Don't have to beat yourself up. Don't have to torture yourself. Don't have to do anything else. You just deal with it and you repent. You turn away from it. It's done. It's dealt with. It's dusted. It's gone. And now, out of whatever, a little bit of faith that I have, and now maybe it's the altar of sacrifice, because you've prayed before and you felt, look, nothing seemed to happen, and you feel discouraged, and the circumstances are pressing. And so it might take a little bit of discipline. It might take a little bit of to actually, okay, Lord, I'm coming to this now. And Lord, I'm just going to love you. Lord, the best I can. with what I have. Lord, I don't feel I got a lot at the moment, but whatever place it is, and we just love God. And then as we begin to just to love him and just to tell the Lord that we love him and begin to pray and just say, Lord, I just want to be close to you. Maybe that's the first prayer that you should be praying. Lord, I just want to be closer to you. Lord, I don't want to be cold in my heart. I don't want to be distant, Lord. And maybe that's the first prayer, a pure prayer that goes up before the Lord and which is such a pleasing aroma before the Lord. How much that would gladden the heart of your Father, our Father, as we pray a prayer like that. And as we do that, there's a bit of fire taken from there and it's thrown down into our heart. And then there's more fire within us, let alone the devil is terrified now. He's getting really scared now because you're starting to realize, hang on, there's a secret weapon that you got here. And then so there's a bit more fire. And now I pray with just a little bit more confidence before the Lord. And I pray again my prayer. Pleasing aroma to the Lord. The Lord just delight. Oh, that prayer. Oh, it's just beautiful. And some coal fire is put down with the prayer and then it comes down again. And then you're more on fire for God. And then you begin to pray again. And then you become a little bit more bold now. I can boldly come in to the presence of God. And it's a process, but we're going to be on fire. Prayer is an important part of that. Whether you feel, I've got to start again. In all honesty, if I'm real, if I'm honest, I'm going to start again. And my first prayer is, Lord, deal with this junk. Lord, forgive me, deal with it. And the first prayer might be, Lord, I just want to be closer to you. That's okay. Start somewhere and allow that fire to fall down from heaven upon our heart. And then as we begin more and more, as we're growing, we're praying. And the powerful prayer, that energized prayer, energized by the Spirit of God, where once the fire from heaven comes down and our own human heart and spirit becomes more in line with the will of God. And as we're praying according to the Father's will, as we're praying, we see things unlocked and begin to happen in a powerful way. God is an awesome God. And you are an awesome person in God. Amen? Amen. You're not a defeated person. You're not a hopeless person. You're not a helpless person. We are a spiritual powerhouse. We have the ability to pray. And me just telling that, me just saying that, the devil cringes when we're saying that. We have the power to pray. And the devil, don't say that. We have the power to pray. And as we pray, amazing things are unlocked. Amazing things. Your prayers, which then maybe start up as a little prayer, as it makes its way to heaven, it gets there. And it's like, you know, you go, ooh-wee, and then there's this echo that comes back. There's this reverberation, this echo in the heavens when we begin to pray. Stuff happens when you pray. Never underestimate the power of prayer. If we really knew how powerful our prayers were, we'd be a praying people. If you look at your own life and your own prayer life and you think, well, okay, I hear what you're saying. We'll do something about it then. Do something about it. Maybe it's this first prayer. Well, maybe it's, Lord, I just got to, dear Lord, I give that stuff to you. Don't do it in your own strength because you fought with that stuff long enough on your own. Just bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to cut that off now in the name of Jesus Christ and I'm turning away from that. Done. Lord, now, Lord, I just want to be closer to you, Lord. I want to walk with you. Have that daily walk, that intimate walk. And maybe that's where you start, wherever you are along the way. And you might see yourself over here somewhere. Doesn't matter. The more that we still got to pray because there's more fire from heaven to come and more power of the Spirit to be released as we pray. So let's be a praying people. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray, but I want you to pray as well. I'm going to give you a little opportunity to pray. And so let me pray for us, but I want you to take just a moment to pray for your own heart, your own life, wherever you see yourself, whether, okay, I'm here, or whether you see yourself, it doesn't matter, wherever we are, let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're able to pray, Lord, that we have direct access to the throne because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go through a man or a person, Lord. We can come straight into your throne room with boldness and confidence because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. And so, Father, we come now with such a boldness, Lord, knowing that Jesus has made the way for us to come to you. And, Father, wherever we're at, Lord, Father, we want to be that, have that pleasing aroma of our prayers to waft before your presence, Lord. And Lord, to have communication, Lord, so we're not just got a bit of paper saying we're saved or that we're a covenant of marriage with you, Lord, but Lord, that we're actually in relationship, Lord, closely, intimately related to you, Father. And so, Lord, I just pray now, Lord, as we just search our own hearts, Lord, you don't do that to condemn us. Lord, you remind us of the desire for relationship that you have. And Lord, how that is expressed through prayer, but also the incredible power that is unlocked as we pray. So Father, just as we just take a minute in our own mind and our own heart, Lord, we just want to pray something now. And so Father, we just bring our heart towards knowing, Lord, that you're listening to us and that you're going to hear what we pray. So just take 1 minute now. In your own heart, you just pray. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your prayer might be, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want what you did on the cross to count for me. And if you pray that prayer, make sure you tell someone. But let's just pray. Thank you, Father. Father, just thank you that you've heard the cry of our heart. Lord, whether it's from someone who doesn't know you, Lord, who say, I've got to know you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you hear the cry of the heart. Lord, whatever the cry of our heart is this morning, thank you, Lord, that it's ascended to your holy presence. So we thank you, Lord, that it's mixed with fire. And Lord, that you put the fire even in our heart all the more. But Lord, that you unlock and unleash your power and situation and circumstances. So, Father, just stir us up. Let us be known as a people who pray. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name.